ça se passe. J'ai sur mon lit à bouffer sa langue en buvant dans mon whisky. Quant à moi, peu dormi, vie débris. Mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu un flash. En quatre couleurs. Allez hop, un matin, une louloute est venue chez moi. Poupée de cellophane, cheveux chinois. Un sparadrap, une gueule de bois. A bu ma bière dans un grand verre en caoutchouc. Comme un alien dans son igloo. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Moi, 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 moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Allez hop, la nana, quel panard, quelle vibration de s'envoyer sur paillasson. Limé, ruiné, vidé, comblé. You are the king of the divan, qu'elle me dit en passant. I am the king of the divan. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Moi, 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 moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Allez hop, t'occupe, t'inquiète, touche pas ma planète. Today, que le ciel me tombera sur la tête et que la colle me manquera.
Everybody, this is KXLU 88.9 FM in LA and KXLU.com all around the world, coming to you from the lovely Loyola Marymount University campus in Westchester. Mystic Pete here with a show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles. We have a live edition today, and I have a really very special guest in studio, Beatrice, the anti-plastic lady. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's right.
I saw your posts on Instagram. Anybody can find Beatrice as the anti-plastic lady on Instagram. And I was just really moved by what you're doing. It's important work. And it totally, it caused a crisis in my life.
Oh, my God. it's such a compliment.
Yes. And everybody listening, we will all be in shock by the end of the show. But it's an important shock. We need to become aware of what's going on. We're really at a crisis point, and you're one of the people who are speaking truth and bringing this to the attention of the public. So we're talking about plastics. Oh, and the last tune I played was by Plastic Bertrand. I tried to find some plastic-oriented tunes. Ça plane pour moi. So that's a great tune. We'll have some other plastic-oriented music. But for now, let me let you introduce yourself and give a general explanation of what is going on with plastics.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, so I'm Beatrice. I'm the anti-plastic lady. And I just talk about, I don't think people realize how much plastic has infiltrated their lives. Sure, they might think, okay, I'm just using Ziploc bags. That's plastic. Or, you know, oh, my toothbrush is plastic. But I don't think people truly understand how much plastic they're consuming every day and how that impacts their health, right? And I think I think people do have a general understanding that plastic is bad for the environment, right? People have a general understanding that plastic production is somehow connected to climate change and that is bad, right? But if we just recycle, and this is me in my sarcastic tone, if we just recycle, then everything's going to be okay. But that's not a solution and it was never meant to be a solution. Less than 5% of plastic is recycled in the United States. Globally, it's around 9%, but we're the largest producers and consumers of plastic things. And I don't think people realize how much what they do every single day and how filled up with plastic it truly is, how much plastic they're ingesting. And my entire channel, and I'm on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube, is just trying to connect the dots of all, there's an entire research body in pretty much every country dedicated to, you know, researching what the human health impacts of all of this plastic ingestion is. And connecting that to personal choices and how it can dramatically improve your health, right? A lot of people talk about, you know, how unhealthy people are today in the United States. That is a big of grave concern to a lot of people. A lot of these stats are pretty staggering, just in regards to chronic disease in the United States. But there is a very clear line towards personal choices and how much plastic they're ingesting to the overall health of, you know, of not only the nation, but the world truly. I talk a lot about that, and I like to talk about some very tangible, concrete things, easy to do things that people can do to eliminate plastic from their lives, because it is a lot easier than it seems. However, it can seem super overwhelming when you start realizing and start noticing it, and that everything around you is plastic. You're like, oh my God, how do I get out of the plastic death spiral? You know, but it's actually a lot easier than one might think. And slowly but surely eliminating plastic sources and how much good that will bring to your life. And you end up saving money too. So, yeah.
All right. So that's a general statement of what's going on. A few weeks ago, I booked you for this show and I just started making notes.
Yeah.
On my journal here to ask you about. And so each of these pages have like a couple of dozen lines. I'm up to three pages already of like, I'm just looking around my life. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at all the plastic that's saturating my environment.
Yeah.
And it's overwhelming. Yeah. It's everything. Plastic is everywhere. I think mm-hmm. it's even in the Antarctic. Yeah. So if it's all pervasive, you don't even know where to start, but yeah. We're going to try to like begin the journey to de-plasticify before the plastocalypse hits.
Ooh, I love that.
Now you came up with plastocalypse. So my journey, just to get a little personal here, I remember being in a health food store a couple of decades ago, and I'm looking at the organic food, and I'm talking to just some random guy who seems to know stuff, and we're talking about organic food, and I'm putting it in a plastic bag. And he says, well, as soon as you put it in that bag, it's not organic anymore. And I go, what is this guy talking about? So that was like a while back, somebody said something, and it looks kind of stuck in my mind. What was that? Mm-hmm. And then a few years ago, there was another report that a lady did a test on tea that mm-hmm. was made from these little pyramid plastic bags. Gourmet teas had these little pyramid-shaped plastic tea bags. And she said, after the tea was made, there's like tens of thousands of microparticles in your tea.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going, 10, what? That's an insane amount yeah. from that little, you know, chi-chi little tea bag. Mm-hmm. So, but, and then I eliminated those. I don't want tens of thousands of plastic particles. And okay, so that was next. And then you came along, and I'm going, oh my God, this problem is vast. And just like in a couple of weeks ago, I hear a study about people with dementia. have tremendous amounts of plastic in their brain.
Oh.
So now, you know, correlation, causation, we don't know, but does that mean if you're eating or getting a lot of plastic in your brain, you're going to get dementia? I don't know that, but it kind of sounds like a reasonable connection, although more studies have to be done. So there's that, like, oh my God, we could like completely dissolve as people because of this problem. And then the reports about plastic in men's testicles, mm-hmm. in women's uterus, breasts, the brain. So we're permeated with this. And then, I don't know, the last thing I remember seeing was some documentary about birds on islands in the Pacific. Oh. And when they die, they degrade, and what's left is bones and pieces of plastic that were in their stomachs. Like every single bird that had died on this island, and the bones were left with plastic. I'm like, anyway, okay. I said a mouthful, but this is to introduce people to my own journey of this just vast, vast problem. So, why don't we? Let me turn it over to you and give a little history. Take us back to when this first started. I remember even in the 60s, mm-hmm. as a kid, most things were in plastic, mm-hmm. much more. Like, they didn't have clamshells with blueberries and straw. Like, there's a lot more, but we used plastic bags all the time, mm-hmm. and everything came in plastic, even in the 60s. So when did this monstrosity begin?
Yeah, so it really started in like the 80s. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with technological advancement. A lot of this also has to do with oil being cheap, right? And it was also something that the United States had, not necessarily a lot of, but they were kind of the forerunners of all of these different types of plastic. I visited a friend's house. She's older than I am, and she had this patio furniture, and it was plastic, right? And she's like, oh, I've had that for 40 years. And let me tell you, it looked amazing, right? But that's because it's plastic from 40 years ago, right? So the plastic that was made 40 years ago, and there was really only a few different kinds, it had far less additives, it was much more resilient, a lot stronger. And then over the years, companies like DuPont and 3M and Solvay, and, you know, there's a few of them, they developed all of these different kinds of plastic, which, you know, they added a lot more additives, which, you know, ultimately go into the food that it's hold or whatever it's holding on the inside. And that, you know, that has really exploded over the last 20 years. And a lot of this stuff, you know, just with the way that regulations work, it's not tested for human safety before it hits the market, because it has always been assumed that the amounts that migrate from that plastic container into your body lotion or into, you know, your soda, right, on the inside of a soda can, it was always thought to be negligible. But science and research has advanced, and our understanding of what these chemicals do and how they are different has also advanced as well. And it's just interesting, we didn't have the analytical tools to see a microplastic even 20 years ago. You know, we had some, you could kind of see, you could see larger pieces. Those are really macroplastics. But now we're learning that the smaller plastic is, the worse it is for you, right? So just kind of going back to what you first said about plastic being in everything and it being in tea bags. So the last estimates were that each American consumes about one credit card's worth of plastic. I think it was, what, every month? And I mean, just from what I've read, I think that's kind of probably on the lower scale. And again, it all has to do with our ability to analyze and actually, you know, see these things and prove it. We just haven't had the technological ability to look at that and quantify it. And so, yeah, there's plastic in the air. The plastic in people's brains, from a recent study that, you referenced, it's increased 50% over the last 8 years. And I'm sorry to say, there's another study that I'm doing a video on. I'm currently editing it down from, again, like 15 minutes to like 3 minutes, because that's what you need to do for the internet. But they basically had a whole cohort of people in a neurological center. This is in China, who's still funding a lot of this research. And they were they looked at, you know, they did all of these different cognitive tests in that area, and they asked them a very robust questionnaire of lifestyle choices. And then they followed up 2 years later, and they saw, you know, they did the same tests and all of that to see their progression over the course of 2 years. And I'm sorry to say, they had also taken fluid samples from their body, right, and measured microplastics. The people with the highest amount of microplastics in their body had the worst cognitive decline. And this is the interesting part, and I say this in a lot of my videos, the number one, the biggest correlation between the people that had the highest amount of cognitive decline was their consumption of bottled water. And so, I mean, when I saw that study come through, I kind of screamed a little bit. My husband's like, what was that? What did you read? I'm like, oh my God, because this is something I repeat over and over again. My bottled water is our single largest dietary source of microplastics, single largest dietary source. And a lot of people, I grew up in LA, I drank bottled water for everything. I was just, it was kind of, I was trained that you couldn't drink the tap water, even though I will say parts of Los Angeles have beautiful tap water now. Just look at where you are in Los Angeles. But yeah, bottled water currently is your single largest source of microplastics. And the smaller they are, the worse they get. Now, what we know regarding microplastics and brains is that microplastics, when they get ingested, whether you absorb them through your skin, like in a lotion, whether you breathe them in through the air, like if you have polyester carpets, which most people do, or if you ingest them, like through a bottle of bottled water, the smaller they are, the worse they are for you, and they will lodge themselves in inflamed tissue, right? So if your body's healthy and you have no damaged tissue in your body, you know, it's mostly going to pass through. But these are also irregularly sized pieces of plastic that are hard. They're not degrading at your body. So over time and through chronic exposure, they start building up. They start collecting and they start kind of scratching up the insides of your tissues. That's, you know, in a very unprofessional way.
Yeah.
And so it does show evidence that it will inflame that tissue, it will damage tissue, and then start collecting like we've seen in those brain studies.
That's not even getting into the toxicity of the underlying chemicals. I mean, as you're talking, I just made a list of things. This is really 10 shows. There's just a tremendous amount to discuss, and I'm not an expert in by any means, but just looking around and asking common sense questions, mm-hmm. I have lots of them. But my first one, so if I just ate a credit card of really pure plastic, mm-hmm. will that like take care of my credit card plastic ingestion? Okay, corny joke. Okay. I do want to say that you're very careful about citing studies mm-hmm. in your posts.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I was really drawn to is you're meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't just wellness community nonsense. Mm. You're careful.
Mm-hmm.
And anything you say, you back it up with studies. And that's really important in this time of so much misinformation, disinformation, and even well-meaning people that are just spouting all kinds of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there's scientific studies mm-hmm. that you cite, this is the basis for facts and reality.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we know what's true and what's not true, as opposed to somebody's opinion who is probably trying to sell some kind of crap.
Right.
So we want science, and you're mm-hmm. doing it. God, where do you even go with this? So let's start with just one definition that I would like to get clear. So mm-hmm. there's microplastics, there's nanoplastics, and then I haven't heard you say this, but then there's dissolved plastics. In other words, like if I take a spoonful of white school glue, I think it's called polyvinyl acetate. Is that it? PVA?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mix it into a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just, or resin, and I mix it into a glass. So that's now dissolved in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Just explain. So micro is the larger, nano is even smaller, but mm-hmm. at some level, it's just It's dissolved, right?
Yeah, well,
it's not my particles anymore.
Yeah, and
explain.
I mean, Elmer's glue, an example, that would dissolve, but those polymer bonds still exist. It's not biodegradable. So plastic, it's like a chain link, right? You're linking, it's like you can't see in here in the studio, but I'm taking my hands and I'm kind of like linking my hands together. They kind of look like a claw. My fingers are intertwined, right? And that is basically what plastic is. They are polymer bonds, and there's lots of additives added to those polymer bonds to give it different characteristics. And so this is another, what I want to define as well, because I see people get this confused all the time. I see major news publications and media get this confused all the time. A lot of people confuse the chemicals from plastic with the microplastics and the plastic itself. But plastic doesn't exist without chemical additives, but they are not the chemical additives, if that makes sense. Another example of this would be a cookie, right? If you have a chocolate chip cookie, right? Those chocolate chips, that is one ingredient of that chocolate chip cookie, but it is different than the cookie, right? And so that cookie in this analogy would be the chemical additive, and that cookie itself would be the piece of plastic. Now, if you, I'm going to continue with this silly.
Let me just interrupt. So we're dissolving Elmer glue in water.
Mm-hmm.
So is that now dissolved, or is that nanoplastic?
It's nanoplastic.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, and so, it, gotcha. And what I mean to say is that it's taking all of those chemicals with it, right? And so, just because you can't see it, doesn't mean that it's not there, right? And it is dissolved. It is not the only way that something would completely go away is if it were biodegradable, and it's not biodegradable, right? And even plastic, when they say biodegradable or compostable, that's only biodegradable or compostable under certain conditions, right? So compostable plastic, it is only compostable when it has certain bacteria present. If you put it in your compost bin and you bring that out to, you know, the street to get picked up with the garbage truck, it's not getting composted. And anyone who's tried to compost plastic in their compost bin at home, if they have it, they will see it does not go away.
Oh, Beatrice,
I'm sorry.
Why did I have you on my show? Okay. Okay. No, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Because, wait, we're on a tangent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted to, because these are in all the stores now. I'm holding up a light green plastic bag because I was going, oh, yay. Beatrice is going to be so happy that now there's this alternative to, like, regular plastic, and it's yay, it's healthy. I can eat it. I'm eating the bag. No.
It's slightly better because it will. It's like, you know, I mean, and so something like that will still take over 100 years to biodegrade, which means those polymer bonds will be broken, right?
So this is plastic. It's just, so I guess the real question is, if I put food in it, is it getting less toxicity into the food?
No.
Oh.
It's getting just as much. In some studies, it shows more.
Oh.
My chemical migration, because the polymer bonds aren't as strong.
Can you just lie to me?
I know. it's terrible. I know. And so, but yeah, so chemicals from that plastic does migrate into the food. But what is good is that depending on what that food is, more or less chemicals are going to migrate into it. And so there is kind of a silver lining there.
Let's play a little music and try to recover here.
Okay.
This is called The Rubber Band Man.
seats come out right. Once I went to hear them play at a club outside of town. I was so surprised, I was hypnotized by the sound his cats put down. When I saw this short fat guy stretch a band between his toes, hey, I laughed so hard cause the band got down when it finally reached his nose.
Hey y'all, prepare yourself.
Rhythm, grace, and debonair for one man, oh. And then he had the nerve to twiggle his left toe, but through his knee, got the feeling in his head, y'all. Oh,
Lord have mercy. Twing, twang, 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 twang. Just drop me in my bones. Twing, twang, 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 twang. It makes me move, y'all. I kind of groove when I hear it. When you see the man do his stuff, I done seen enough.
This is KXLU 88.9 FM in LA, KXLU.com all around the world. Mystic Pete here. My guest today is Beatrice, the anti-plastic lady. She's easy to find on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and every place else. That's spelled B-E-A-T-R-I-C-E. And very interesting and compelling and, well, upsetting discussion. We're trying to come to terms with a severe problem of society in general worldwide that really hasn't been understood. The severity of the crisis that's going on. Beatrice is a spokesperson for awareness and truth-telling. You had one thing you wanted to add about PVA, so that's Elmer's White Glue. Which that kind of plastic is called polyvinyl acetate. See, I know something. Okay.
Yeah, so that is basically the same type of plastic as surrounds your dishwasher detergent, right? When you have your dishwasher pods and your laundry pods, and that is polyvinyl acetate, right? And there's one other kind of plastic it could be, but a lot of people think just because it dissolves that it's gone forever, it just goes away. But that's not true. It will dissolve. It has shown that potentially there are residues that stay on your plates. And increasingly, a lot of research has been done now looking at the amount of PVA plastic that has started collecting in, you know, our ecological environments, right? In aquatic environments where, you know, basically every dishwasher releases its water out, and all that PVA goes with it. And PVA in wastewater treatment plants is actually used as a flocculant. That's what it's called, but it helps coagulate different contaminants in wastewater treatment plants at the top. So I've had people ask me, like, oh, are you know, dishwasher pods safe? And I'm like, well, first of all, that's plastic. Second of all, there's potentially a residue that's left on your dishes. I mean, it doesn't look like we would be consuming much, but let's consider potentially what that does to your body. If it's able to collect and coagulate contaminants in a wastewater treatment plant, like, what's that doing in your stomach? What's that doing when it interacts with other, you know, lipophilic contaminants in our bloodstream, right? So many of the chemicals from plastic.
Fat loving.
Yeah, are lipophilic.
I know something.
And so what happens then? It's just, you know, all of these things do impact us. And it's this chronic exposure over time that I don't think people realize, you know, down the road, like, oh, you know, there's an obesity epidemic and cancer and all of those things. All of this contributes to that, right? There was a study, and I meant to mention this at the beginning of the show. There was a study, I love it because it perfectly encapsulates the reason that I talk about this. It was done in order to prepare for the Global Plastics Treaty. This is something that's being hosted by the UN, but the United States and 175 other, you know, contributing nations, as well as hundreds of different NGOs, have since 2022 come together to try and figure out a way to end the plastic situation, right? And people think that this is just about plastic waste, but it is very much about plastic and human health. There was a study that came out last year, and big headline statement, they looked at just a handful of the most commonly used chemicals that are used in plastic, phthalates, PFAS, and bisphenols, and those caused $249 billion in diseases and disorders every single year in the United States. So it was you know, 1.4% of GDP just in the United States. And that's because there are so many diseases and disorders that can be directly connected to the abundance of plastic in our lives and the chemicals that come with it.
And this is one of the reasons I wanted to feature you, is that this isn't just some abstract out there problem.
Yeah.
This is literally a crisis. This is causing a catastrophe of health that's really not talked about. This was happening with cigarettes. Mm. This was happening with asbestos. Mm-hmm. This was going on for years and years before anybody talked about it. Mm-hmm. One of the issues, which hopefully we'll get to in a minute, is that somebody's making a lot of money off of cigarettes or asbestos. Mm-hmm. Somebody is making a whole lot of money off of plastics, and they want to do everything they can to minimize, distract. It's like when you got a boyfriend who's cheating on you, and it's like, oh, it's not what it looks like. It's something else. That backlash hasn't really hit yet because the plastocalypse hasn't really surfaced, but it will very soon. But okay, I have brought another visual aid. I brought a plastic bag, and I brought this salt shaker. So I heard some study that the worst salt for plastic was Himalayan pink salt. And I'm going, what are they talking about? This is rocks mined up out of the earth. Maybe they grind it up. So I have this. I use this all the time. Mm. And I'm thinking, now, is there something about the process of digging it up where there's plastic salt chopper operators use? Or is it this plastic grinder at the top of the bottle? So this is a bottle. You grind the salt. The nuggets are, you know, piece sized, and you grind it as you put it on the food. Mm-hmm. Those are plastic teeth. Is that the thing that's adding the plastic, or is it earlier in the process? Now, I'm saying this because it points to a problem: the lack of information we have. Yeah. Is the salt itself contaminated? In which case, goodbye, guys. Or is it this lid, which is easy to avoid? So, as I say, the lack of information is critical. We so don't know what is what.
Yeah.
And that
drives me crazy, too.
Okay, so I'm guessing you don't know whether... you do know.
Yeah.
Is Himalayan salt in... Is that ingredient itself bad?
Yes.
Oh, but no. Lie to me.
Okay. Well, let me put it in perspective. All salt is contaminated with tons of plastic. All salt. Okay. And that is because our oceans are full of plastic, right?
But this is from mountains that have been under ground for millions of years.
Yes. Well, yes. Now, there is an extensive mining and tons of different processes that they use to extract that rock salt, right? The Himalayan rock salt, and then process it into something that you are eventually able to consume. And so that is where all of that plastic comes from. And in general, how people ingest a lot of plastic without realizing it. The more processed something is, the more plastic it's going to have, because every sanitary surface, and I'm using like air quotes here with my fingers, that has to be covered in plastic, or usually is, in order to meet, you know, manufacturing, sanitation guidelines. So, and it is through that mechanism that it gets lots of plastic. However, what I would say too is that I have not specifically compared Himalayan salt versus other salts that are out there, but and Himalayan salt was worse in, you know, its microplastic content versus other salts from a few years ago when I looked at it. However,
not it's not from the grinding mechanism.
But that probably is adding something.
Oh, I'm sure. You're grinding up rocks of salt with plastic teeth.
So like for example, just going off of that, one of the main sources of microplastics in bottled water is the cap.
Oh, God.
It's literally from screwing it open and closed, because the caps are nylon, and typically the outside of the bottle is either polypropylene or polyethylene terephthalate. And when they do analysis on bottled water and look at the different polymers, types of plastic that are in it, they find, you know, they're going to find nylon, from the cap, and it'll be the same color as the cap. That's another reason they're able to figure it out, right? A Dasani cap is green, and they'll find those green fragments inside. Okay. But they'll find microplastics from the PVC water pipes, and they'll also find the actual plastic, right? The polyethylene terephthalate microplastics as well inside of that bottle. And so a lot of people will ask me, if I get my bottled water in glass, is that better? And I'm like, marginally, but it's still going to have microplastics from the pipes. And a lot of the times it's that plastic cap, or the metal cap is lined with plastic on the inside. So,
yeah. All right, well, let's dive into the next topic, and that's water. So I had a guest on last year named Evelyn Wendell, and she's worked very hard to get water fountains installed around Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Water fountains, so people can just drink water.
Yeah.
And her point was, LA tap water is actually very high quality. And mm-hmm. This was one of the first don't drink. She was saying, don't drink bottled water anymore. It's terrible mm-hmm. for you. Drink what's coming out of your tap.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's good advice. And I've almost completely eliminated bottled water. And I have a filter, which is solid carbon. It's a multi-pure. I think it's a good filter. I'm even a distributor. But then I'm looking at the filter, and there's a plastic line going into the stainless steel carbon block and a plastic line coming out of it. And I called the filter. They're very nice. They're really conscientious people. But they said, and they said they're aware of this problem. I say, I want to get plastic out of my water line. And he said, it's a very difficult thing to do because there's like no plastic line, no lines you can get easily that will be flexible and change the filter. So I said, look, you figure this out. And when the plastocalypse really hits, you'll be the people who have the filter with no plastic in the whole system.
Yeah.
But then I'm going, you know, my entire apartment building is filled with PVC pipe, yep. probably.
Yep.
And probably the whole line of the city coming, the water line is probably all PVC, that white plastic from the city.
Yep.
So
yep.
it's going through miles of plastic. Maybe my solid carbon block water filter will take out the micro particles, but it's not going to get down to the, like, well, you could define it, the nano.
Yeah,
it's like barfs.
Yeah.
And it's certified by the NA, whatever. I know what you know what that is. But so water is where we're getting most of it from bottled water.
Yeah, bottled water.
But city water is better
yes.
filtered or no. But then the last thing I'll say, and mm-hmm. then I'll let you, you're your expert, and mm-hmm. I'm taking up all of your time.
No,
but that if you look at the filters out there, most of the filters are almost entirely plastic.
Yeah.
And when I first was researching water filters, people were saying, don't get like reverse osmosis because those are nylon filters that degrade into the water. So the filters itself mm-hmm. can cause problems, yeah. not even just the housing of the water filters.
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative, right? And this is where it gets really hard is that, you know, when you have a really huge source like bottled water, and mind you, I also want to mention bottled water was seen as the healthier choice versus soda, right? Even from 20 years ago, it's so funny. Everyone, and they've looked at dietary studies, people used to just have a liter of Coca-Cola on their dinner table at night, right? And so now it's water, and that's seen as better, but it is that source is still a very, obviously, a high source of microplastics. So your tap water is definitely going to be less. And I think therein lies the problem. I am of the belief it is absolutely impossible to avoid every single source of plastic. It is like no, zero doesn't exist. So it's really, so what I like to focus on and think of is number one, eliminating the biggest sources that you can, right? And so, you know, when you eliminate the larger sources, you can really start focusing also on number two, which is making your body a fortress so that it doesn't start accumulating microplastics and you protect your body from the harmful impacts of all the chemicals that those plastics bring in. So that's what I like to focus on. And every single water filter that exists, whether it's reverse osmosis or the carbon block or the ion exchange, they all have plastic. They just have different kinds of plastic.
Okay.
So that's, okay, you can't escape it.
I get it. So, and then how does bottled water relate to a bottle of juice, plastic bottle of juice? Is it, once it contains other ingredients, is it going to dissolve less plastic? Or if it's orange juice, that's, now that's acidic. So, yeah. I mean, in anything, like I didn't want to bring up the fact that somebody has a bottle of green juice with plastic.
Oh my God.
So, good.
No, no, but this was a choice though. So it's actually funny. So I filled up like 6 massive bottles of water because my family and I, you know, we're going to Disneyland. I loaded the car with all of this filtered bottled water. However, we then brought it all up. My husband brought it up to the hotel room. So here I drive over to this radio interview and I don't have any water. And I'm like, seriously, Beatrice? And so now I'm faced with a choice. I'm like, do I get bottled water? Well, I ended up buying, I stopped where I could at a Starbucks and I got a green juice. Why did I get this green juice? It's because it was refrigerated from start to finish. Because that's the thing. And that's what I was going to say. Yes, what's inside the bottle definitely impacts how much plastic is going to leach out. And you said it, it's whether it's acidic, a fat content is a really big one, but heat is probably the number one thing that will start degrading those polymer bonds and release those chemical additives. So when you have a choice, and I was faced with this choice on the way up here, this was refrigerated. I know that this was refrigerated from start to finish, and it also doesn't have a fat content. And so that is the Sophie's choice.
I see.
As it were.
There's no good choices, but there are better choices.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to treat yourself to a soda or a juice or something
and
once in a while, then to be your main source of hydration, water, which is constantly in plastic bottles. So as a treat, fine, don't freak out about it.
Yeah.
But the main source of drinking should be just without it being contained in plastic.
Yes.
That's the, okay, good. We're getting someplace here. We got 10 minutes to go through 10 hours of material before Pat comes on with Alien Air. I hope everybody stays tuned. I am speaking with Beatrice, the anti-plastic lady. She's easy to find in a line of very healthful products at taborplace.co.
Yeah.co.
Okay. It's not com, it's CO.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have a little cottage industry of gathering together items that are better.
Yeah.
They're better.
Yes.
And that's what we have to focus on right now. Yeah. What's the best option, the safest practice in a world that's utterly contaminated and going to lead to the extinction of human species any minute?
It would be, oh my gosh, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my favorite study in the world that I mention every opportunity I possibly can, which is when they did the dietary intervention study. This actually was published last year. So they got this group of people and they wanted to see, first they tested the amount of microplastics in their body and they had a plan for how they could reduce the amount of microplastics in their body. And so they said, you know what, we're going to give them a plastic-free diet. We're going to eliminate bottled water. They're not going to have any plastic Tupperware, no plastic cutting boards, right? All of this. And they really expected that there was going to be a dramatic decrease in the amount of plastic in their bodies. However, when they measured the amount of microplastics in their bodies after this 2-week period, there was not much change in the amount of plastic. So it kind of looked like the plastic dietary intervention really didn't make that big of a difference. And the researchers were really stumped. However, they then noticed, as they're looking through every participant, there were certain people that had really low levels of microplastics in both groups. And it was the same people in both groups because, you know, they fed them, they had their regular plastic diet and then, you know,
before and after.
Right? That's what I meant to say. But so, and they found, they were like, what is it about these people that where they have dramatically low amounts of microplastics in their body versus everybody else? And it all came down to how much ultra processed foods that they ate. So the people that had the least amount of plastic in their bodies, yeah, maybe they had bottled water every once in a while, but they were the ones that had, you know, an apple instead of, I don't know, like a super processed sugary cereal, right?
They or were, granola bar even. You were talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's another big one. Like granola bars. That's a really processed food. People don't think of it because it's quote unquote healthy, but it's been on a lot of plastic surfaces in a manufacturing facility. And so the biggest difference between the amount of, you know, the biggest impact in reducing the amount of plastic in your body is truly by just eating fresh, unprocessed foods. Even if it's quote unquote unhealthy, if it's less processed, it will be better for you. I also hear a lot of people saying that they want to avoid all those, you know, harmful food additives, right? And I'm like, well, there you go. Just don't eat as many processed foods. And yeah, that's eating a handful of trail mix versus a granola bar, right? Eating apple slices, having a steak versus having a hamburger, having a roasted chicken versus chicken nuggets, right? That are prepackaged and frozen. A lot of people think that if it's not in a plastic tray or you're not microwaving in plastic, it will be plastic free. But no, it gets tons of plastic from just being processed in a manufacturing facility.
So like you were saying with the Himalayan salt, where the workers are drilling this out, it's going on plastic sheets. Yeah. In other words, they're wearing plastic gloves. So the more process that food goes through, because plastic is part of all those industrial processes, yeah, it's going to pick up plastic. The bowls, mm-hmm, the mixers,
yeah,
and I mean, chicken nuggets, this is one of the most processed. It's this kind of disgusting when you, yeah, look at what it is. But so you're back to like local, you know, farmer's market, slow foods eating, organic, whole foods.
Yeah.
Like make it yourself, cook the food yourself, yes, go to the farmer's market, get the original and keep it away from the processed food. So a, yeah, lot of plastic will be eliminated there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of plastic will be eliminated if you stop drinking out of bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on those two big areas,
yeah,
and it'll decrease your load tremendously, and then slowly get rid of plastic containers,
yeah,
and replace them with glass. I'm following your,
totally,
my class.
Yeah.
I'm getting almost all of the plastic, like food storage containers I have are gone. It's all glass.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go, we're running out of time. We really need a couple more shows, but, yeah, water,
mm-hmm,
food, fabrics.
Mm.
Our fabrics are, yeah, often plastic. Cosmetics all over the house. Carpet, couch, foam, everything. And as these degrades, I'm just repeating what. But I knew this. You can see like the foam. After a while, it starts getting like powdery. So, mm-hmm, that's all like plastic that's just floofing all over your, mm-hmm, environment. That's my word, floof.
Mm-hmm.
In your garden, I'm going, oh, I'm watering my plants with a plastic water can.
You,
okay,
know,
I can get rid of that one. And then there's construction. And, you know, there's plastic lawns coming up.
Oh.
It feels so violative to me, like the filth that you're putting on Earth, and that's going to be there for decades and hundreds of years. You're ruining the Earth. Do not put in plastic lawns, please.
Oh my God.
And it's so tacky. Whoever thinks this stuff is attractive. Anyway, and then there's the area of construction. There's a tremendous amount of plastic in construction. Paint and drywall.
The medical industry is the worst.
And the medical industry. And then the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to let you have the final word, is in work, in employment, if you're working around any of this stuff,
mm-hmm,
you're handling it all day, even cashiers who are touching the receipt, mm-hmm, full of paper, like exposure from work is probably horrendous.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's a whole nother show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even getting to what's happening in the, just generally in the environment with how many truckloads of plastic?
Oh, what was it?
You looked
20,000, 2,000 garbage truckloads of plastic enter the ocean every year.
From the United States or worldwide?
Yes.
From the United States.
Oh, no, that one's worldwide.
And
but
how much
is
it?
2,000 garbage trucks enter the ocean every year globally. However,
every day.
Oh, yes. Hold on. Yeah, no. Was it every day? Oh, my gosh. No,
2,000 garbage trucks full of plastic go in the ocean every day. So this is an absolute environmental catastrophe. Mm-hmm. That's not going to disappear. It's just going to dissolve. And all our you talk about fish, not eating fish. All of our fish are contaminated with plastic.
Wait till you hear about plastic rocks. I could spend an hour just on plastic rocks.
Oh, plastic rocks as landscape items.
No, it's a geological formation that happens naturally now from all the bits of plastic.
Okay. You got a minute and a half. Final word, Beatrice.
I need to do another video on that, too.
Oh, my God.
The last thing I'll say is that avoiding plastic, what you start realizing at first you're overwhelmed. It's like the stages of grief or whatever.
Oh, my God.
At first you're overwhelmed. But then you start noticing that it's actually a lot easier to avoid plastic for most things. Some things you can't do, you got to just accept and move on. But other things, you start noticing you're saving money. You start realizing like mason jars are actually cheaper than buying, you know, tons of disposable Ziploc bags every week or so. And then you're also doing something for the environment. So it's kind of like a threefer, right? You're doing better for your health and the environment, and you end up saving money in most cases, which is pretty cool.
Well, I think not getting overwhelmed and going into too much shock is important, like peace of mind, and don't freak out and don't become like crazy over this. Just slowly, we gave you a couple suggestions, water and food, storage containers, slowly, one step at a time. You're still alive now, so it'll be okay. Just calm down and let's slowly address this personally and also address this societally, because that's the only way it's really going to be solved.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ultimately we have way more power than we think. A lot of people don't realize there are certain things that are way better. Like right now, you know, everyone has an Owala water bottle. And last year it was the Stanley Cup. It was so popular. But 20 years ago it was Nalgene, right? So stainless steel, the popular water bottles today, that's better than the plastic bottles of the past. So what this has shown is that people are thinking about this and things are getting better and companies are changing as a result of what we are buying.
Thank you so much for your time, Beatrice, the anti-plastics lady. And it's easy to find on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, or people can find me, mysticpete.com and mysticpete on social media, and I'd be happy to refer you. Promise to come back.
Yeah, no, I totally will.
Beatrice, thank you so much.
Yeah. Mystic Pete.